A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. Good morning. Peace be with you. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Valentine's Day is the time to be thankful for the loves for which your arrows have struck and been important in your life. It's a time to remember those who have gotten away from us, and more importantly, to remember those loves that have gone before us to our Lord, into His perfect love, so that we know even in our sorrow and our loss, we long for them again in a more perfect way than we could have ever experienced them in this world. So the question for the day for you is, how does Hallmark movies and the three top gifts that are given on Valentine's Day correspond with our readings and the beginning of Lent? Okay, I'll tell you. Hallmark movies, they're wonderful, but they're all the same. If you put on a Hallmark movie, you either have the young man who is the son of the cobbler who has no hope of any love come into his life, and all of a sudden a beautiful princess walks in the door with a hole in her shoe, and then there's love forever. Or there's the girl who is helping her mother run an antique shop, is unnoticed to everybody, and somehow the king's car breaks down in front of the shop, and there's love forever. When we think of the Hallmark movies, we think of that one person who has a wish to find love, a hopeless, almost, kind of thinking and dreaming. But every time that there is that hopeless wish, there is somebody who has the dutiful love who walks into their lives and makes them their own. That's the story of the gospel today. We have a leper who is an outcast, as we heard in the first reading, who has to speak that he is unclean as he comes into the presence of others with no hope at all to be united to community as well as united to a person's love. And we hear him express that to Jesus as he has already been hit with Jesus' arrow of love in his words that he heard and the works he was doing. He approaches Jesus as that pauper and says, "I know that if you wish it, for it is my wish, you can make me clean." Jesus responds with dutiful love, the love that he has for the Father, the love that he has incorporated in his incarnation, and he doesn't say, "I wish it," as if he was the long-lost genie of the leopard's life. He says, "I will it. My love wills you to know what it means to be made clean." And the leopard, as we hear in the gospel, lives happily ever after in that love of Jesus. Because he cannot even keep it to himself, he proclaims it everywhere he goes. No longer concerned about what the community thinks of him being clean or unclean, only to profess his love. That's our Hallmark story for today. So what are the top three things that we give on Valentine's Day, and why do we really give those things? Well, the top three gifts, as you know, are cards, candy, and flowers. And we give them because we recognize that throughout the year, we've failed to live the love that is expressed in cards, candy, and flowers. See, cards are our communication, or the lack thereof, of our love. So we take time to find the perfect card with the perfect words to say how much we love the other that we failed to say on a regular basis, or even more importantly, didn't show. And the card is to make up for all those last 364 days. And then the candy. The candy is given as the sweetness of the love that we have, that we've made our loved one fast from, because we've failed to show it on a regular basis. So we offer the candy to us, a reminder that when you first struck me with your arrow of love, I brought you sweetness. And now I want you to know that my sweetness, my love for you, continues. And then there's the third, and that is flowers. And let me tell you about flowers. When one sends flowers, they are in dire strait of their relationship. See, because flowers is a waste of money. Everybody knows it. Especially the people who sell them, because they make them so much more expensive at Valentine's Day, because you spend all this money and they last maybe, if cared for, 6 days. But it is a gift of selflessness. What I usually treasure and hold for myself, that I concern myself in the things of the world, I offer that up and waste it on you because I love you. I give it to you without a desire for a return, other than to show what? That I should have been loving you selflessly all along. When we think of that relationship that Jesus desires us to have, when does he really shoot his Cupid arrow with the point of gold? In our baptism. That's when he transforms us into his lover. How difficult, though, it is for us to love him every day, to proclaim him, as Paul says, imitate me because I proclaim Christ who lives within me. So the church says to us, right around Valentine's Day, we need to re-engage that love. We have to first see ourselves as the pauper in the Hallmark movie, or more so like the leopard who, because of our sinfulness, have made us feel disconnected. And that we desire to make up for the times that we failed, to communicate that love, to taste the sweetness of that love, and to give selflessly. And therefore we do what? Pray, fast, and give alms. Because really a card is a communication of prayer to God. It is our way to communicate to him in the way that we should and find the words that are necessary to show our love. And as much as people want to poo-poo formal prayers express our love better than we probably can ourselves, just as you wouldn't sit down and try to write your own Valentine's Day card. We pray to re-engage our loved one with that communication of how we first felt when he struck us with his own love. And then we fast. We fast because we want to recognize that all the things that we desire are coming to us. And we will see the love of the one who loves us come to us on Good Friday from the cross, when he speaks on our behalf, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And that sweetness fills us again upon his resurrection. And finally, giving alms is really, truly like giving flowers. We give something that isn't going to really change the world. It will help and sustain people and their needs for a short while. But it's our way to take away from our own selfishness, what we desire for our own well-being, and simply give it back. Because regaining that love is truly what the conversion of the Lenten season is. So what should be our mission this week? I think it should be to learn and look at our own hallmark story. When did the Lord strike you with the arrow of his love? When you felt as if you did not deserve love? And secondly, how will you use this Lenten journey to replenish, to renew, to dispose yourself to that love through your prayer, fasting, and almsgiving? Because the love story is 365 days. Perhaps maybe we express it on certain days more openly. But less you have to say on those days is because you're living each day in that love. So when you come forward to receive the greatest gift of God's love, you want to receive that love in the Eucharist, the bread of life. But that bread of life only comes first because Jesus sacrificed himself as the Lamb. Receive him. Thank him for the loves in your life. Ask him to help you to nurture those loves by coming and loving him more fully in this Lenten season. And I promise I will do the same.